Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we are continuing our conversation with David Kibler. He is the founding pastor of Catalyst Christian Church in Nicholasville, Kentucky. A great church. If you don't have a church home, I want to encourage you to check them out. Obviously, just a short drive from Lexington or a lot of surrounding counties as Nicholasville and Lexington. I don't even know where they stop anymore, David.
They certainly don't. I mean, you can't really tell when one stops and the other begins.
Well, we're going to talk more about that tomorrow, about this church that he planted and just the amazing things that God's done, but also just some of the humor and rumors, just some stuff that you may have not ever heard about before. So make sure you tune in on tomorrow's program on Wednesday. But we shared yesterday about David's first son. He had two precious daughters, and he had a son born with a heart defect. And unfortunately, at 10 days of age, he went to be with Jesus. And, you know, that's just got to be brutal, and anybody that's had to bury a child. So I want to encourage you, if you've been through that or you know somebody that's been through that, I think there'll be some comfort, as David was just really raw and honest yesterday in his sharing about the birth and death of his son. And I hope that you'll go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today, and be blessed by that. But David, as we continue that conversation, you know, it's been 14 years, mm-hmm. and you said, you know, obviously God has spoke to you a lot and matured you in your faith. But we were talking, you know, off the air here a little bit. I thought you had some really powerful things about God taught you about, you know, you were 30 years of age around that versus 10 days, and that we're not promised more. Share a little bit with our listeners about what
you're
saying.
Sure. One of the biggest lessons after going through that was, you know, he only had 10 days, and I was 30 at the time, and it just hit me that it's not him having only 10 days was not nearly as strange. The fact that I'd had 30 years, there's nothing guaranteed. We're not guaranteed one second, one day. And by playing it safe, you can't sooner or later you're going to die. I mean, that playing it safe doesn't guarantee anything. So go for it. Go after your dreams. You know, don't let anything stop you, because by playing it safe, you're not going to, it's not like you can have a different outcome. So just go for it.
And I know you've lived that. You know, it's one thing to say that. You hear people say that. And we've been friends for a long time. I mean, not super close just because mm-hmm. our ministry connections, but I've seen from afar things I want you to share with them. I know you didn't plan on this, but I want people to know what you know. It's one thing to say that, but it's another to live it. I mean, talk some about the mission work you do, just for starters.
Sure. Back in 2012, I just felt, you know, driven by this this conviction that, you know, don't play it safe. Go for it. Do things that are courageous. Do things that are, you know, and I really felt called to help plant churches over in countries where it's difficult to be a Christian. Places like Pakistan, Nepal, India. For some reason, India was my passion, Nepal. And so in 2012, some people say this is really dumb, but I met a bunch of pastors over there through Facebook, and we had Skype things, and we talked, and we had all had a passion for church planting. Pastor in Pakistan, pastor in Nepal, pastor in India, and me, the pastor. And we formed a group called Asian Church Planting Mission, ACPM.
And this is all through Facebook?
All through Facebook, yeah. And so
wow.
We met in Nepal for our first conference, and we had 140 pastors from five different countries there. And we did a three-day church planting conference, and we had preaching and everything like that. And then we moved to India, and we've had those we do conferences and have trainings in India. And at present, we have over 735 churches since 2012 planted in those countries. We've had pastors that have been killed because of the places they've gone. I mean, people that we have prayed for and that I've talked to have been killed because of their faith and everything. And then another will go in and continue the work. Just unbelievable. But a lot of people would think that that was a little pretty dumb for an American to go over there with not knowing anyone, not knowing how it's going to turn out. You know, baptizing people in a country that has a 3-year jail sentence for baptizing people. I'm looking at some serious time for all the baptisms we've done. But I mean, that's where you start living. I mean, that's where you really see you know, the promises of God, that He is close. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and it's when we step out of what's comfortable and we step out of what is known and familiar and, quite honestly, boring. Most of us are boring. We really are.
Absolutely.
That is where you really begin to see what God says, the righteous shall live by faith. not comfort. They live by faith.
Amen.
So that's kind of.
Well, I love that, and I just heard earlier today Rick Warren share that, you know, about faith and church and worship, and that outside the United States, over 1 million people are martyred because of their faith. And yet, you know, if we're honest, I mean, there's a lot of times because of all the comforts we have in the United States, you know, the average now, and it could have changed, you may know more recent research, but now the average, even for regular church attenders, is 2 Sundays a month.
I think it's less than that, actually.
Is it gone down?
I think
that's,
it's
like 5 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's like three out of every 8 Sundays is really what is considered regular now. Yeah, it's. I don't know if I mean, you've been a football coach. If right. a kid attended 3 out of every 8 practices, would you consider that regular? I mean, I wouldn't. I'm a soccer coach. I wouldn't consider that. I'd say, obviously, you're not dedicated to this team.
Yeah.
But we're willing to accept it for church, obviously. Sure. You know, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because, you know, they'll be open next Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, a lot of different. So, you did the mission work. I also know that you do a prison ministry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Me and my own dad, you know, my dad, Ben Kibler, we teach a fatherhood class in Fayette County Detention Center called Inside Out Dad, where we go and we teach fatherhood skills, emphasizing connection with the fathers with their children. I loved it so much. I started one at Jessamyn County Detention Center, and I worked that with one of the guys from my church. The recidivism rate of addicts is about 70%. 70% of guys that wrestle with addiction are going to come back to prison within a year. Guys that go through our programs, 35%. Been able to cut the recidivism rate in half because of just emphasizing connection with your family, getting these guys into community with their families and loving their children. And there's actually been studies that show that human connection releases the same neurotransmitter that drugs do. And so when you feel love in your family and everything, it gives you, quote unquote, the same high. And so when you are connected with your family, connected with people in community, you have no need for substance. And so there have been studies that have shown that. And so if you're out there, if you are wrestling with addiction, the main reason you are an addict right now is you have isolated yourself away from everyone who cares about you. You cannot become a full-blown addict without pushing everyone away. Well, that is exactly what's feeding your addiction. That's why the patch won't work. That's why all these other things don't work, because they don't connect you with other people. Form friendships, involve yourself in a community of faith, develop lasting friendships, and that's the only way you'll be able to beat addiction.
Well, I think Jesus so modeled that for us. Obviously, he could have saved
Absolutely.
The world by himself,
yes.
David, but, you know, he chose 12 guys to do life with those 3 years, and then he even had an inner circle of 3, so
yes,
we were not meant to do life alone.
No, and I would say that the reason Kentucky has the biggest opioid addiction problem is we're isolated. We just don't have. I mean, do you know the people on your that live on your street? I don't. I don't know the people that live on my street.
Not well. No.
And I mean, I remember when I was a kid, we knew everybody. We had connections in the community. You know, connections at church. And as people are abandoning church, and people are abandoning a traditional thing, you know, like Moose Lodges, Elk Lodge, you know, where the men used to get together. You know,
yes.
the World War II
yes.
vets used to get together and everything.
Right.
Well, people aren't doing that anymore, and they're turning to drugs. Because addiction is isolating. And so the community is so important.
Well, I know that's true. I've got 2 guys living with me right now that came out of the Lighthouse Ministry Program. Both have done some prison time, and both of it was because of opiate addiction. Mm-hmm. And so both of them are clean, and yet, you know, we've been talking about when you get that fear or that place where, you know, you want to numb that pain, you've got to let me know.
Yeah.
That community. And the Bible talks about what's done in the darkness has brought the light. And, man, when we shine light on our pains and wounds, it's amazing how less impact it has on us, isn't
Amen.
It?
Amen to that. But and with the strong families, you want to get rid of opioid addiction. I wish I could go on the floor of Congress, and because I know they're wanting to deal with that right now, and say do everything you can to keep families together.
Yes,
families
yes.
and communities. You know, made a massive PR campaign. Go to a church.
Right.
You know, develop
right.
develop friendships. You know, communities. Get involved in something where you have friendships, and you will see the addiction crisis completely gone.
Amen. You just tuned in, we're talking with David Kibler. He is the founding pastor of Catalyst Christian Church in Nicholasville, Kentucky. And we talked yesterday about the unfortunate death of his son at the age of 10 days old, and just shared with that. And today he we're sharing about, you know, he learned that life is temporary. You're not promised tomorrow at the age of 30. He said, I'm going to step out in faith and do some things and try to make a difference with my one and only life. And I've had him share about some things that he's done. A third thing I'd like for you to talk about is your church has done a great job about looking at adoption. There's so many kids that don't have parents, and yet there's so many married couples, even single folks that thought they'd be married but aren't, that want to be parents. And man, you guys got on the solution of the problem. Talk about that.
Well, quite honestly, it runs into the last one, the opioid addiction. I believe that the church needs to address and speak to the biggest problems facing the community. I really believe that. And what is the biggest problem? Obviously, it's addiction. And it's obviously the biggest thing. Everybody listening to this knows somebody who's an addict, maybe an addict themselves. Everybody's affected by this. Well, we figured there were three ways that we could deal with this. One, we could form armed militias and go shoot up, you know, drug gangs. Well, we probably don't want to do that.
Right.
Second, we could pretend like we're professional counselors, and you know, people who wrestle with addiction need counseling. Well, we can't do that. So, how does the church really address this? Well, look at who is the unwilling victim of the opioid crisis, the children. Mm-hmm. What are churches great at? Man, we've got children's ministries. We've got youth ministries. Man, a lot of the people in my church are just phenomenal parents. I mean, we're very family-oriented. And I'm like, well, that's how that we can do. That's, you know, we'll let the police take care of the gangs. We'll let the professional counselors do their thing. You know, they're trained and they're, you know, to deal with the addicts. And in the meantime, the church, let's take care of the children that are affected by this. So let's really start emphasizing foster care. Let's really start, supporting the foster parents and supporting the adoptive parents in this, so that we can be on the front lines of this big, big, big problem. And so because of so we started this big push to really emphasize either sponsoring children or adopting or foster, and depending on, you know, because fosters sometimes they come in, go out, come in,
right.
But anywhere between a third and sometimes half of the children in our church are foster or adopted.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
because love it.
Yeah, and so it's just the church being faithful. And you know, when Jesus said, "I was hungry, I was thirsty," how about this? I was a scared child whose mom and dad had been arrested, and you took me in. You know, that's I think that's good theology right there.
Amen. So I got to feel safe to say probably over at least 50 kids impacted over the past few years.
Oh man, more than that.
I'm being conservative. But, I mean, just give me a ballpark guess.
There have probably been 60 or 70 foster adopted kids come through our church in the last few years.
Well, I just think that's a word for somebody out there that says, you know, how can I make a difference? And maybe you want to have more kids and didn't, or I know there's single people that just never got married in their 30s and 40s that are great parents.
Please adopt. Please foster. Because, I mean, these children, these stories, you know, that this one mom called me that was going to Central Baptist. She needed prayer because she was going to go, there's a toddler at the hospital who had second-degree burns and two broken femurs because she wouldn't stop crying, and the boyfriend was high and started beating her until she stopped crying. And that's what, that child needs a home.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that's what we're dealing with.
I love it. Well, stay with us. Dave's going to be with us tomorrow. Just talking a lot of things about faith and how God is there even in the painful times of life and how you can make a difference with your only life. Make sure you tune in tomorrow as Dave Kibler will be our guest. I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you tomorrow on Hope Is Here.
Do you have a real estate question and don't know where to start? Contact Cecil Holmes with Rector Hayden Realtors. Whether you're in the market, looking to buy, sell, or rent a house, Cecil Combs would be glad to help you with any real estate questions you have. Give him a call today at 326-0756. That's 326-0756. Cecil Combs with Rector Hayden Realtors.